Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Applewhite, and I'm welcoming you to the student to teacher to student radio show on the internet. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to say that I wish all of you love and peace that are out there listening to the show this morning. And we have some callers on the line. We want to welcome them in. And always appreciate those who call in, as well as we appreciate those who are just listening, okay? So we just want to let you know that we have a great subject to talk about today. How are you? Good morning.
I'm fine. This is Tom Baker, President of the Student Advisory Board.
And it's so nice to hear your voice. Always nice to hear your voice. I hope you're having to have a wonderful day today. And it's my birthday.
It's your birthday?
It's my birthday today. Yes, it is, sir.
All right. Mine
and I can't believe it that I'm on the show this morning, and this is my present to be able to help people out there that are listening to my voice right now and the voice, your voice, and some of the other voices that will be coming on line this morning. Here's another one here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Let's see. I think I lost you. Okay, hold on. Okay, there we are. One moment. Just hold on there. You're going to be on air in a moment. There you go. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
This
good
is
morning.
Dorothy.
Oh, good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yes, it certainly is. And there's nothing like having another year to stay on the mission, you know. We've got a part two of ignoring mental health conditions that may affect success. And what I wanted to do was sort of combine the information that we shared last week, because I didn't get a chance to get to the some of the warning signs that I wanted to share with our audience out there. So I'll be able to do that and combine that what we're talking about this morning, okay? So why don't you introduce the show for us, Dorothy, if you don't mind, as our resource. Thank you.
Okay. Join Professor Applewhite as he discusses social phobia or social anxiety. Listen how to address nervousness, stomach pain, sweating, and other reactions associated with shyness. Severe shyness that impacts speaking up in a classroom or socializing at work is categorized as an anxiety disorder. Discuss and learn how most shyness is connected to fear. Fear is a reaction that usually does not indicate that a situation is dangerous. However, it may be perceived as harmful to a person because of their perception formed from past traumas or influences.
Yes.
Also, enjoy... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, no. I'm listening to you.
Okay. Also, enjoy other teachers, counselors, and Nazim Rashid as he shares related issues from his upcoming book, Reconnected. Call 1-646-727-3758 or log into the student to teacher to student at blogtalkradio.com.
Absolutely. And we're here every Saturday morning, Arizona time, from 10 to 11. And we certainly appreciate those who call in. Again, stay tuned for some wonderful guests to be joining us this morning. And we certainly hope that they do tune in to us and come on board and say a few things. Because it's always great to have those extra voices sharing what they feel about the topic of social phobias. Social phobias is something for a long time that I spoke about in the school systems, and it was not necessarily laughed at, but somewhat disregarded by many as shyness, just shyness. And shyness, we all have a little bit of shyness. There's some of us they appear very confident most of the time. But there's still some areas where we're not as confident as we'd like to be. But that's not what the topic is this morning. The topic is not about having shyness once in a while or feeling uncomfortable meeting a new person romantically or, you know, in any way socially. It's about the severe reactions associated with being shy. And when we get to that severe point where it starts really affecting the way we speak in the classroom or the way we don't speak in the classroom, we're just so uncomfortable when we're called on that it actually becomes physiological, or another way of saying that is that it affects our body and we start actually having a physical reaction to being called on in the classroom or asked to perform in front of other people, you know, even if it's just karaoke among the family. Also, just socializing at work, you know, come on, join us. Other employees might say, come on and join us in the lunchroom for so-and-so, somebody's birthday party. And before you know it, your stomach begins to start cramping and your palms get sweaty and you don't even know what's wrong. Why do you react the way you do? And it's because of this severe social phobia, severe reaction to this shyness. So any comments on that? Dorothy, I'd love to hear from you if you have anything to say about being shy or
well,
or
I can tell you that I'm one of those people. When it came to Toastmasters, I joined it so I could learn to do better in front of people. I'm telling you, I got through the whole book. But it was something else. I actually need to join and work on it again.
Right. And Toastmasters is a really great way of, you know, being able to bring out some of that shyness. But what happens a lot is that they're not dealing with any of the severe issues that can happen when you keep pushing and pushing a person. Usually in Toastmasters, and I'm very proud of you to hear that you joined it, it's you made the decision to go so that you could learn to be more effective in socializing with people and speaking in front of others. So we applaud you for that. And we applaud those that also are listening to the show this morning and can relate to the nervousness and stomach pains that we're also talking about, and are willing to say, you know, I've got some issues in that area also. So we appreciate your sharing that. Toastmasters, really, I really, really endorse that particular group. If you want more information on that, it's available via computer. Just put in Toastmasters, and they have offices, I know, or meetings all over the United States in some of the major countries. So they are available to you. More information, just contact White Apple Institute. Tom, you have anything you wanted to say about this social phobia, or not, could be related to yourself or to someone that you've known?
Well, I knew a guy that was real shy, who eventually committed suicide, but it was so many years between when I knew him and he did it, that I don't know if it was related to that or not, but I'm the wrong person to ask about being shy.
Why is that?
I'm not shy, you know.
Uh-huh. Is there anything that causes you to feel somewhat uncomfortable around others at any time?
Well, when I'm asked to speak about a topic I don't know about.
Right, okay.
That'll make me feel uncomfortable.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
You know.
The topic in itself is really, you know, it's a psychological term that we use for social phobias, social anxiety. What I'd like you to focus on as the term shyness, and I like the example that you brought out about being shy and about how something happened to someone that you knew. One moment. I'm going to get back to you in just a moment. Let me take this next caller. Hello, caller. This is Professor Applewhite.
Nazim Rashid here.
And this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
Nazim Rashid.
Good morning. It's so good to hear from you. So good to have you on the show as the up-and-coming author of... Reconnected, up-and-coming, successful. It's going to be a number one bestseller. I just see that. So I wish you
Thank
that
you.
Best. Yes, I do. And also success on your upcoming radio show. And if you'd like, towards the end of the show, the end of this show, you can talk a little bit about that and how people can get in touch with you to hear about... the positive news show that you'll be bringing out. What we're talking about today, Nazim, is this social anxiety, social phobia.
Yes.
And I have spoken about it many, many times and not received the kind of feedback from other professionals, teachers that were listening to me, because they're always moving towards, oh, they're just shy, okay, and that's fine, and that has a place, but when it gets that severe reaction, how do you determine the difference between the two, and how do you address it as a counselor and a teacher?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I can feel a lot, too, that when I was a kid, I was severely shy, Matt, to the point I would peel myself if I was called on in class.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's serious. And it does happen. It does happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you lose bladder control and my empathy goes out to you that happened to you. What did your teachers do? That's what I would like to know. What did they do?
Nothing. No, nothing at all. Matter of fact, they would blame me. They would blame me for not speaking up when I was asked to or not participating. That I would be blamed for it.
Right, because this was a this was called a ploy to get away from the work or something.
Yes,
or
and so
to get out of the classroom.
Right, exactly, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I was afraid to do, I was afraid to even hold my hand to say, I need to go to the bathroom. I was afraid to do that.
Right, exactly. Wow, we have a lot to say to the teachers out there that have not been very sensitive to people like yourself and to
mm-hmm.
people like myself. My shyness came out usually with meetings. Someone of the opposite sex. And I was very, very shy about that. And I still am to some extent today. And coming to terms with that is about just reading things like, you know, your book. And I know you have a chapter that's applicable to what we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on how to overcome. So, because a lot of this is associated with self-esteem issues, but you know, the major thing that I'm concerned about is how we lack identifying when it goes past just being shy and past just being low self-esteem, because when you start having these physical reactions like you had,
mm-hmm.
and many, many other people out there. That it's hard to admit to. It's very, very uncomfortable. One moment. We have another caller, and then we'll come back to you, okay?
Sure.
Thank you for calling in, all of you, this morning. One moment, and I will get this caller here. And this is Professor Applewhite. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Great. It's a pleasure to be listening to your show this morning.
Oh, great.
I finally got a little bit of time away from becoming a doctor myself, so I have a few minutes, and I just wanted to listen in, and because I really appreciate and enjoy the times when I'm able to listen to your calls. So please go on. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing.
Wonderful. Do you yourself, your name is, you're Doc Bev.
Yes, absolutely. This is Doc Bev.
That's right. And do you have any experiences of knowing people or personally yourself where you've dealt with feeling very, very shy and where it turns into almost a physical reaction of being nervous, stomach discomfort? Sweating.
Absolutely. I think we all have experienced those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time they stem from just the encounters that we've had throughout our life with people that we have maybe felt that they were superior to ourselves.
Yes.
Or that
yes.
they may have had more education or more money or more affluent or whatever. And
right.
that reflects right back on us in that we're not feeling very secure about who we are.
Yes.
And
exactly.
once we reach that place of knowing who we are, loving who we are, no matter what shortcomings we may have, just to
mm-hmm.
appreciate and love ourselves 100%, you're not going to experience things with other people. And I had an experience just yesterday of the opposite. I've always had, you know, like felt that, you know, doctors, lawyers, those people who society says are in a higher position in life than what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself now just feeling more comfortable with who I am and interacting with everyone in society on an equal basis, no matter if they're homeless or if they have millions of dollars. It's all the
right.
same. We're all people. And
mm-hmm.
don't let anybody, you know, I just stop letting people get in my head and tell me anything different. We're all the same.
Yes.
And we love
yes.
each other the same. And that's, you know, my experience with that is that it's growing pains, and when you see it happening to yourself and you realize that it's happening, then that's your opportunity to go ahead and start making changes in that area. And what I have done in that area is daily I pray twice a day, and in my prayers I chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. And as I chant, I'm focusing on loving and appreciating myself. And as I do that, I become stronger in who I am, loving me more. That's what I do.
Yes. So prayer and focusing on focusing on that inner strength and building from there is more important in having you in your growth than getting your PhD. Becoming a doctor is not what makes you feel comfortable with people of all walks of life.
No.
It is that inner child, as Nazim will relate to in a moment, growing within you and being able to visualize yourself as equal with everyone.
Exactly. Because I haven't reached the position of doctor yet. I'm still writing my dissertation. I still have a few months before I will officially be doctor. So absolutely, it's not that I have a title now. It's a title.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's a title, and it shows that I've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of reading and writing. It's what it is, okay? And the growth has come from me reflecting within myself. Whether I ever took this avenue or not, as long as I took the religious avenue, the avenue that I chose to pray and to better myself, I would still be at this point. And that's what's so amazing about when you get in tune with who you are, when you appreciate yourself. The reasons that we don't appreciate ourselves comes from outside of us, from people telling us that we're no good, that we're stupid, that we're, I tell you, this is something that happened to me as a child. I was 7 years old, and one of the teachers in the institution, after giving us a IQ test, and I'm an African-American woman, they gave me an IQ test, and my language was not the same as theirs, and so I failed that IQ test miserably, and she looked at me and she said, "We don't think you're going to be anything any day anyway, so you don't have to study, you don't have to do this or that, because you scored borderline idiot."
Wow.
Now, I carried that with me throughout my grade school, high school years, thinking that I was a very stupid person.
Yeah.
And I got in college. Someone taught me to go into college. And in college, they inspired me and told me that I was someone, that I was bright. And I was able to carry a 4.0 GPA.
Congratulations. We all applaud you for your efforts. We have some of the callers online. Would you hold on just a moment, and we'll let you finish up what you're saying, okay? Hold on. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Welcome to Student to Teacher.
Welcome. This is Maria.
Hello. Good morning, Maria. It's always a pleasure to have you online.
How are you?
Very good. Very good. I know you can have some things that you can say about this shyness and what we're talking about this morning, so feel free to jump in as we finish up with Doc Bev in just a moment. Okay? Hold on.
Okay.
And I have another person online right now. Okay, you're on air, caller.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite.
Good morning.
Angelo.
Angelo, good morning, Angelo.
Good morning. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, you're never late. You're never late. You're always right on time. Okay. All right. Yeah, you can join in the show anytime between 10 and 11. Still get the knowledge, always sharing the knowledge. Okay, Doc Bev was just finishing a point up about how she felt about shyness, and we're talking about social phobias and how that can affect us. And so go ahead, Doc Bev, go ahead and summarize your thoughts.
I'm saying all of that about my past experience to say, don't let people get in your brain and tell you things. Love yourself and look at those experiences that have put you in the position that you're in now, to where you may feel uncomfortable about being around different types of people. I'll tell you a book that helped me along the way, and the name of the book is Living Wabi Sabi That's Living, WABISADI, and it's by Taro Gold. And the book is about loving yourself through all of your own imperfections, loving other people through their imperfections. And it started me, I've read the book over and over 4 or 5 times now, and every time I get a different insight, and I work on that. I work on loving everyone, no matter what their imperfections are. We're an imperfect world. If there wasn't any imperfections, there wouldn't be any perfectness.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Love yourself as who you are, because I love you all. Okay?
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to talk.
Oh, wonderful. We appreciated that. That was great knowledge you shared with us. Someone else had something they wanted to say. Someone else has something they wanted to say. Please go ahead. Anyone that's feeling like, yes.
Nazim here. I want to first applaud Dr. Beth for saying what she had to say. Because I'm telling you, I'm sure that a lot of folks have felt the same exact way, you know, and so forth. And they thought, like I thought, that I was by myself. And no one felt like that about themselves but me. And so what she did, she just reaffirmed what I've always believed anyway, that many of us share this kind of anxiety that we were conditioned to from birth sometimes, and we have a need, or there's a need, for there to be a mentoring, mentoring program, modeling, teaching awareness, training, so that folks such as myself, Dr. Bev, others, you know, won't have to feel alone and go through what we went through.
Right.
Yeah, and go through
right.
it. I felt the same way. I felt the same way. I felt like, why bother speaking up? No one wants to hear what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so forth. Why bother? And so I don't want the attention on me, because what happens, that will just point out more of the problems or more of the deficits that I have. So I don't want the spotlight on me, because that would show more of the bad in me. I don't want that kind of focus and so forth. And then when I'm forced, you know, in the spotlight, you know, I was a kid there, I just froze up. Oh, my God, now they're really going to see how no good I am, you know, how awful and so forth and all the deficits. They'll see it now. Now I can't hide. What am I going to do now? I just freeze. The whole body freezes. The larynx is the freezes up. You can't speak. You know, bladder control. You know, pores. You know, pores open up. You know, and everything. You just paralyzed. You see.
That's right.
So that
happened.
So yeah. So I went through that. I went through that. And because I went through that, it can really, you know, cause me some serious problems. But because of what I went through, that, you know, inspired me as I got older and started becoming more into my own to actually, you know, go back to school and take courses on in personal development. And that's how I became certified as a conflict resolution trainer and so forth. I said, man, you know, I said, this is why I should have gotten a long time ago. You know, understand the beauty and the gift of self. No one ever said anything. That never came out of anybody when I was coming up. The beauty and the gift of your own divine self. And we have all the divinity inside of ourselves, but no one, I've never heard that from anybody, no one. And that's important for us to tell others now that they have that inside of them up
that's
out there.
Nice. Because it's natural to feel, you know, some type of nervousness or shyness in front of others. But when it gets to that point where it's severely affecting you physically, and almost to the point of being unbearable, and you just feel too nervous to do anything, to even make eye contact. Now, sometimes that's a cultural issue, you know, but just to make eye contact with others, you see some students that sit by themselves in the lunchroom, okay, because
right.
we're so afraid to socialize with others. And we, when we talk about this being afraid, this fear, okay, fear, and I always use the acronym of F-E-A-R as fear being a false expectation appearing real. And as our researchers will bring out, fear is a reaction that usually does not indicate that a situation is truly dangerous. But when we perceive things, the way we perceive things from how we've been influenced in our early years, I think as Dr. Begg was bringing out, our early years, our influences from other people, telling us that we are not capable of reaching any kind of status and that we're not very smart. I know that Maria has some things that she has shared with us on radio about her family issues, or not necessarily family, but people around her that have made her feel uncomfortable. Right, Maria?
Well, I think it's because of my CP that I always noticed about my whole life. It's because I have cerebral palsy, and I have a lot of learning disabilities. There's a lot of things I don't understand about life. There's a lot of things I don't understand about even in Spanish. My brain doesn't really comprehend a lot of stuff, and that's why I feel the way I feel. But it's not my fault that I was born like this. So whatever I can do, I don't even, sometimes I don't even know what I'm capable to better myself, because it's really hard, because I have my situation that I have learning disabilities, and I always have feel the way I felt. So I don't know. It's a little difficult for me, though, but I try to do whatever I can, and to be the best I can in life.
That's right. And I can assure you, you're doing a great job. Just by being on the show, I remember you're not even wanting to speak. And now here you are. You have moved to the point where you can speak to others quite openly now on air. And people are gaining something from you, Maria, by you speaking and sharing your story. And so, you know, as you've learned through some other shows that we've done, there are many types of intelligences. And so just because you have a learning disability in one area, which it may be academics, that doesn't mean that you don't have skills and talents in another area. And that's what we need to find, is what that other area is, so that you can become very successful and feel good about your accomplishments. And that we say to everyone. And so we appreciate you sharing that, because having cerebral palsy, there's many people that have cerebral palsy that are doing wonderful things with their lives and very successful, to the point where they, you know, success can only be determined by you, Maria. You know, success doesn't always mean, as you know, having a brand new car or a brand new this or whatever material things.
Right.
Success
right.
is an inside job.
Right.
Okay, and so we want you to feel successful about where your life is, and so that's what we're going to keep working on with you and with other people that call in the White Apple Institute. And so we want to overcome the fears, we want to overcome the negative influences that have happened to us in our lives, and the stories that have been told to us, as Nazim will relate to, the stories that we believe about ourselves, okay? Because it's all about what we believe, too. You know, if we want to accept what somebody else says to us, like the teacher who told Doc Bev, you know, you'll never amount to anything because of your intelligence test, where here she is going to college getting a 4.0, you know, because she overcame the belief system. It stuck with her for a while, okay? And sometimes they do. They stick with us for years. But once we overcome them, then, boy, watch out. Watch out. Okay? Any other comments? I think Nazim had something you wanted to finish up with, Nazim, on that one.
No, really, I think what Maria said is excellent. And it's important to understand, Maria, to see or to acknowledge the area of your expertise, the area where you have full ability. You know, and so too many times we look at those areas that we'd like to do that we can't do now, instead of focusing and honoring the areas that you excel in. And once you focus on that, you expand that. It's like being inside a circle. Once you get in that circle and love that circle, then what happens, that circle starts expanding. But be in the center of that circle first. Honor that. Love that. Bless that. Give thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, the circle starts slowly expanding. And that's where I think is a healthy place to be. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We've had a lot of people, I've had students write in that, you know, if a teacher called on them, that the physical sensations that they would have felt like there was real danger in speaking up, that something was terrible was going to happen to them. So they start actually having this paralysis, and I think you noted that earlier, Nazim. It's almost like a paralysis, like your mind doesn't even feel like addressing what you're feeling. You better not do it because my heart's pounding so fast that something is going to happen to me if I even begin to start talking, and my palms are sweating and I feel so uncomfortable. And it's really hard for those students, and it's very real for any of you teachers that are listening out there. It's a very real reaction. And it's something that we need to take into account instead of saying that someone is just shy or trying to get attention. We need to look at the ways that we can help them to overcome the fear that they're having, because this is part of categorized as an anxiety disorder. You know, and I don't like to say disorder, but it's an anxiety symptom, okay? Because all disorders can become ordered, okay? The only thing that moves it from that is your willingness to overcome it, to read the books, as Jacques Bev was saying, okay? To go to personal development classes, as Nazim Rashid was noting, okay? Reading good books and looking at movies that will inspire you. This is one of the ways that you can overcome that. But, of course, when we're talking about severe anxiety, this is something that needs to be handled by a qualified counselor, psychologist, that you need to see so that you can overcome these reactions. And our chat line is open if you want to log in to chat, any of our listeners out there, because I see the switchboard is filling up. So there are people out there I know that are listening. So feel free, if you're not comfortable coming on air, then log into the chat room, and we'll address your questions there, okay? All right, now we have some other people who haven't had a chance to speak out here, and we'd like to hear from everybody, even if you're not talking about yourself and you're talking about other people that you've known. These are stories that can always help our listeners out there to, you know, look at ways to improve themselves. So is there anyone else that would like to speak at this time? Especially, Dorothy, you've had children. And I, you know, in dealing with children, even dealing with their friends, you know, you've probably seen it a lot in children and probably had some way of bringing out, you know, bringing that child to a level of being able to speak comfortably and building their confidence level. Have you had that experience?
Nothing stands out to me at the moment, but I guess I can only think of one who maybe doesn't speak out as much, but most of them speak up. But nothing stands out for me right now.
You know why they speak up, though? There's something that you're doing, something that you did to influence your children to speak up, though. Okay? There's something, I mean, yes, it could be that there, some children are born with some shyness, but something you did in your household that made it comfortable for them to speak up around you and with others. And so good job. Good job that they didn't have any shyness that needed to be addressed on a severe level, and that you were the kind of mother that encouraged them to speak. Because one of the things that Nazim brought out last week when we were talking about codependency is that one of the signs of codependency is children being told that you are to be seen and not heard. If you remember that that discussion. And
yes,
when she, yes, go ahead. I have
no,
a funny feeling you never did that.
No, I don't remember ever doing that.
Right. And I think that that's why your children were able to come out with such a confident attitude and not be, develop that shyness, is that when children are told that they are not welcome to participate. Now, of course, there are adult conversations that they don't need to participate in, you know, and or do, like this thing that's going on now in the news where these 7-year-old children are dancing and making sexual moves as Beyonce, an adult woman. And these are parents that are promoting a whole different ideal for their children. And so that's one extreme. And then coming back to the other extreme, which is a good extreme, of saying, I want you to be confident, and so I'm never going to say to you that I don't want you to express yourself. But there's a respect issue too, right? They've got to respect mom. And they've got to respect your rules, your house rules, but not where you're suppressing them. So thank you for sharing that. You see, you have a lot to contribute when we're doing the show, a lot to contribute. Anyone else? I want to share something with all of you that I missed last week, and we've got about 17 minutes remaining on the show. And I don't want to miss anyone's comments. Well, as you're thinking about what you want to say, I want to bring out something that I wanted to share about codependency. Now, codependency is that relationship addiction that we talked about last week. And these are all mental health conditions that affect our success. Codependency affects our success. It is when you are so addicted to a relationship that you find yourself actually becoming needy of individuals needing you all the time and having to be around you. And one of the ways that you know that there's some difficulties going on, and this also filters over to social phobias, the fear that we're talking about today, and that is, do you have difficulty adjusting to changes at work or home? You feel rejected by other people, uncomfortable expressing your true feelings to others, okay? How about this one? Difficulty taking compliments or gifts. How many of us are subject to saying, no, don't give me a compliment, no, I'm not handsome, I'm not smart, I'm not beautiful, you know, don't give me a gift, but they can give gifts. But they don't want the other person to give them anything because they don't feel they're worthy enough for that. Anybody can relate to that? Okay, if you have any difficulty talking to people in authority, such as police or your boss or your teacher, trouble saying no when asked for help, but can I help you? No, 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 no. I'll do it myself. Okay? You have trouble asking for help. That's what I meant, trouble asking for help. Okay?
Yeah.
And you have so many things going on.
Now, you know, I had quite a bit.
Yes, yes. And so many things going on at one time, Nazim, in their lives that they can't do justice to any of them. And so they're always in this stressful condition because they feel everyone needs them. And you hear them complaining about it, too. You know, that I've got so much to do because this needs this and she needs that and he needs that. And I've got to do all that for all of these people in my life. And that's a true sign of codependency and something that can definitely harm us and prevent us from feeling successful and good about our lives. Trouble, it was a trouble asking for help that you were saying you see a lot, Nazim? Was that the one?
Sure, yeah, sure, because
yeah.
You don't feel that you don't have the self-confidence. You don't feel, you don't believe in a higher self, your higher self there. So you feel that, you know, that you'll be criticized, judged, you don't measure up, and you don't feel that what you have is worth hearing from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? So, therefore, you're shy. So people in authority, you know, or anybody that you're talking to really can cause a little problem, can really set off that little anxiety trigger within you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens like that for sure.
Anyone know anyone that has dealt with people that want to have so much control over you?
Oh, boy.
They want to have control over your life and tell you what to do. They're so involved with your life, so involved with your life, they don't even have time to take care of their own.
Sure.
Okay. It just exaggerated feeling of I've got to take care of you. Okay, and they love and pity become mixed up. Okay, do you love me or do you pity me? And you want to feel like you want to rescue me from something. Why do you want to rescue me? Rescue yourself. But when you know what I mean? But when people see that happening, you know, they fall into that, and they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, and so maybe I should listen to you. And before you know it, you're lost in this cycle of being dependent on this other person, and this other person becomes dependent on helping you to get through whatever you're going through, and it becomes a very vicious cycle. Especially when you want to break away from that cycle of the behavior. And you become without choice. You become helpless. Okay? So those are some of the things that play out also in being involved in social phobias. You know, we've got different mental health conditions that we never really talk about. And that's why we're bringing it out on the show, because at White Apple Institute, we see these things happening. You know, and we are committed to addressing them, the things that most people in the school systems are not used to talking about. Any comments about that control issue, people trying to control you? Well, there's 11 minutes remaining. Is that what? What is that?
I just said parents have a tendency, some of them, to do that a
yes.
lot.
Yes.
They don't want to let go of the teenagers and let them grow
yes.
up and go beyond
yes.
teenagers.
Very true, very true. And sometimes it does border on being unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know, the father that doesn't want the daughter to date anyone, it becomes unhealthy because no matter what the father may be thinking, he cannot, as the daughter is growing towards womanhood, he cannot satisfy the needs that she has as a woman.
Right.
And so, but they stop them from dating, but they can't supply that, right, Tom?
That's true. And
yeah, mothers do the same thing. They can't be your girlfriend.
Right.
You know, but yet and still they don't want you to be a girl. They don't want you to have a girlfriend. They're afraid of
right.
losing you, and it becomes this unhealthy dependence on their relationship with you. And they'll do almost
right.
anything. They'll do almost anything to avoid feeling like you're leaving them or abandoning them.
Right.
You know, why are you leaving me? And that becomes this cry for help and this guilt, this overwhelming guilt that they try to put on people. You know, because they're feeling this sickness within themselves. And especially in cases like in Maria's case, as she was discussing, most people that put her down and make her feel uncomfortable just because she has cerebral palsy are usually people who feel uncomfortable about themselves. And they see you growing and learning and doing something, and here they are without any cerebral palsy or any severe issue that they're dealing with, and they're not even able to do what you do. So they
right.
jump into the circle of, I don't want to see her do more than I do, because that makes me feel bad.
Yeah, that's true.
So we've got a lot of things to deal with here when we think about mental health, good mental health. We want to be physically, mentally, and spiritually balanced. That's what I want to put out there this morning. I don't want to let Nazim... any comments that he has in just 8 minutes remaining, and also with Dorothy bringing in some of the resources and thanking our sponsors. Dorothy? And Nazim? And Nazim, please introduce your show that's coming up in June.
Oh, okay, surely. I'll start there. In June, on Monday, you know, I'm not really sure of the date, but I'll be laying the... listeners know soon, but the third week in June, Monday or Tuesday, 6th, the show will be called Reconnected. And the show will feature various parts of my book, Reconnected. And we'll have guests on there talking about, you know, things from their perspective. And we'll also have a small segment on positive news from all over the world. There are a lot of positive things happening out here. People doing a tremendous thing, changing the world, and we know nothing about that because it's not newsworthy on Fox or CNN to talk about these positive, wonderful things. So I'm going to bring some of that out, just a little bit of that, and then really talk about how we can connect with ourselves. And think about that, if we learn how to really love ourselves and connect with ourselves, our child within, our child self there, then we wouldn't have the issue of shyness, or these other things, we wouldn't have that there. You see, because we
right.
have missing voids inside of us, missing voids, you see. So what happens is because of these voids, you know, then we can't relate. We can't relate to ourselves. We don't like the mirror. And so we don't like it. And you know, so society bothers us. People bother
mm-hmm.
us. We can't relate. And so we weren't equipped with these skills in order to deal effectively in a balanced, healthy way in society and so forth. And what happens is that we have to reconnect with ourselves. It's like the idea of controlling. You know, I had a brother who controlled me. You know, it was a master-slave relationship as I grew up. I wasn't allowed to even think about taking care of myself. He said everything that I needed, he was going to provide. And so I never had the strong skills to even think about I could take care of myself because he was always there. But I didn't like that. It bothered me, but I couldn't do anything about that. And so the idea that we have to learn how to go back and fix ourselves, love ourselves, be our own mentor, our own guide, our own model, and reconnect with that self inside of ourselves, and be the champion for ourselves. We can
absolutely.
Do that. That's what the show's about.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. All right, Dorothy,
mm-hmm.
why don't you try to close us out here? We've got about 5 minutes remaining. And we certainly will, as soon as we know the dates and times, Nazim will make more announcements for your upcoming show and support you with that as you continue to support White Apple Institute. And our show here, Student to Teacher, to Students. And we thank you very much for your time with us and support. We really do.
More than welcome.
Dorothy, what's going on? What resources have we got going on today that we want to talk about? Anything special?
I still, the library is still special to me. I have to mention the library at least once.
Absolutely. I feel that's so important. You know, I was just telling somebody the other day, they said, I don't know where to go and get the information for that. Go to the library. The library is full of information, all kinds of workshops and everything. Yeah, that's another thing, too. We forget the library have post all the workshops that are going on in the community, right, on the community board. Is that right? They still do that.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, in addition to the books, tapes, movies, the music, you know, there's just so much there. We couldn't hear you, Dorothy. You went out for a minute.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, I want to remind everyone that we have whiteappleinstitute.org. It's an easy place to donate because we're volunteers here, and we all have the spirit of providing resources for others to better themselves and learn in a healthy manner. And so you can donate there. You can also, if you enjoy shopping online, I find it fun. You can go to WhiteAppleInstituteBlastoff.com and support that way. It's a win-win for you and a win-win for White Apple Institute. And we appreciate Wendy Duncan, Adele, Eric. I put them on the website because we have a lot of supporters. Martha Bergen, we appreciate all of you. Thank you. That's probably the most I can put in real quick.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Anyone have any spiritual message that they would like to send out to others? It can be an affirmation, a statement, a prayer, anything that you'd like to share.
This is Beverly.
Okay, go ahead, Beverly.
I have something I'd like to share. It's from the book that I was talking about, Living Wabi Sabi.
Wonderful.
And one of them is, the way of Wabi Sabi honors the quirks and odysseys, the humble and the unconventional. It celebrates the perfectly imperfect uniqueness of you and me. Looking through the eyes of Wabi Sabi, we see the beauty and value of life's imperfect parts and the hidden treasures they reveal. The last one is appreciate this and every moment, no matter how imperfect from this moment appreciate this and every moment, no matter how imperfect, for this moment is your life. That's it.
That's it. That says it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I don't the familiarity with Wabi Sabi for our listeners. Say the book again.
The book is Living Wabi Sabi by Carol Gold.
Okay. And for those of you that missed that, make sure you connect with us. As Dorothy noted, WhiteAppleInstitute.org. And we certainly wish you much, much love and peace this week, and hope that you tune in next Saturday as we discuss more mental health issues that we're all talking about. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Students, teachers, students, and our sponsor, White Apple Institute. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Nazim Rashid on the saxophone from his album, Renaissance.
Thank you.